Agency owners, it's time for a new episode of the Agency Blueprint, the number one podcast for agency owners looking to build systems to simplify and gain reliable profit growth, while also reducing stress and getting their personal life back. I'm your host, Robert Patton, international bestselling author, agency scale partner, and founder of Creative Agency Success. If you enjoy this episode, do me a favor and hit that subscribe button to make sure that you never miss an episode and help keep the show at the top of the charts so it can be found by more agency owners like you. And now for the show. Hey everyone, today we are joined by TJ Slattery. He's the owner and founder of Crow's Nest Consulting, a lifetime entrepreneur and a strategic advisor. TJ harnesses his decades of experience to create clarity and stability for business owners immersed in the day-to-day and on the entrepreneurial island. He works with clients across industries to create and improve operational systems and develop proactive processes to forge a path ahead, one that leads directly to their personal and professional goals. Welcome to the show, TJ.
Hi, Robert. Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
So in prep, we were talking about, or you mentioned this like kind of concept of underpant gnomes, I believe a reference to South Park, I believe. So for those unfamiliar with the reference, can you tell me a little bit about what the metaphor means and how it's related to flawed business thinking?
Absolutely. I don't know if you've ever watched South Park or seen that episode, but it's always funny when you can bring some pop culture into analyzing small businesses. And that was one that I'd rewatched a few years ago, and this metaphor they had brought up really hit home for what I see in a lot of small businesses, where we get underpants gnome syndrome. So in the episode, the one kid, Tweak, he drinks too much coffee for some reason. He's like an eight-year-old that drinks coffee, and he comes to their kids, and he's freaking out. He goes, "Oh my God, you guys, the underpants gnomes came again last night and stole my underpants." And, you know, Tweak, that's insane. There's no such thing as underpants gnomes. That doesn't exist. Yeah, you know, well, whatever, you guys. If you come to my bedroom tonight, we'll do a stakeout and I'll prove to you that they exist. So they do a stakeout of the kid's bedroom. And sure enough, at the stroke of midnight, in come the underpants gnomes on parade. And they use the kid's dresser drawers as stairs. They get to the top of the stairs and they're singing their song about stealing underpants. And the kids turn the light on. They go, "Oh my God, one, they exist. There's underpants gnomes." And the second question is, though, why? Why are you stealing underpants? And the underpants
goes, question.
Yeah, they go, "Oh, it's simple, for profit." They go, "How does that make any sense?" And the underpants gnomes go, "Step one, steal underpants. Step two, step three, profit." They go, wait, back up. What's step two? And they go, they have a big whiteboard, the whole plan. Step one, steal underpants. Step two, big question mark. Step three, profit. I go, "Hey guys, what's step two?" And then no one has any idea. And I find so often working with small business owners on the day-to-day or in their career, they'll have underpants gnome syndrome. Well, they'll have amazing idea for how they're going to harvest their underpants. And they just say, this is going to somehow make us a profit. And so I come in a lot at, where is that step two? And that's the biggest question, right? That's the operations. That's your marketing. That's everything that gets you to the point that makes us a operating profitable business goes into step two. And so I work a lot with clients and figuring out, what is that step two? Is this a viable option? And what are all the pieces that go into making those underpants profitable? And also tying that back and saying, do we just have magical thinking here? You know, is it a build? If you build it, they will come, or is this something that we can really go through? So I spend time analyzing the viability of those ideas and then putting the step by step to make sure that there's some meat on the bones.
Got it. I mean, I think that maybe step two might be, you know, 12 steps or 15 steps, but I understand the idea. So from a overarching kind of perspective, why do you think that this like kind of idea would resonate with just generally with entrepreneurs and agency owners, like thinking about the first kind of stage of growth and wanting to be able to capitalize on what is available within the market and how to figure out what step two might look like? How do they even start to even consider that they are not considering step two and that they're just thinking step one, underpants, or step three, profit?
I mean, one of the biggest personality features I find in a successful entrepreneur is introspection. And so being able to look at your own systems and look at yourself and say, what are the gaps? What am I missing? And a really good way to analyze that is saying, okay, where are we at right now? What are our capabilities? What's our capacity? Mm-hmm. What can we take on for work? And say 12 months from now, where do we want to be? And what does this look like as far as revenue? What do we want to be profiting? What does the size of our team look like? And that's your first big step, is saying, where are we at? Where do we want to go? And what I encourage them to start doing is filling those pieces. Let's say you're doing 20,000 in MRR right now. At the end of the year, you want to get to 50. Great. It's one thing to just throw that up on your pro forma and a forecast and say, those are our numbers end of the year. But it's another thing to really look in and say, wait a minute, we're able to fulfill 20 grand in MRR right now, but if we 2.5x that by the end of the year, what has to change internally? And so it really helps you start putting the blocks in place to say, well, what do we have to recruit? Who has to join our team in order to do that? How long does it take to recruit and onboard somebody? When are they 100% capacity themselves? What is that going to cost us? If we're 2.5xing our revenue, what does it mean for sales? Do we have to, you know, increase our lead gen a lot? What is that? How does that affect our financial plan? And so it really encourages you to start analyzing the different systems and your capacities right now to say, what do we have to start changing over the next year, over the next each quarter, each month, each week, to actually get to the point where you can realize what that vision is by creating a step-by-step plan on implementing the changes that'll have to happen inside your company to reach that goal.
So there's a couple of things that come to mind with that. One, I mean, I think that having an understanding of what your plan needs to be and being able to break it down into an action plan to allow for it to happen. What I see happen frequently is like, I have this goal for the year, and then come November, December, you're like, oh, I'm really off from this goal and I didn't change anything, and somehow I expected things to change. However, there's the other kind of flip side too, where like people end up in this like almost like catatonic state with too many potential options, too many things, too many potential tactics, actions that they could be taking. And so they end up taking no action because they're overwhelmed with the potential. So from that perspective, what advice would you give to someone that's in a place where I either don't know what direction to go or even what step two might potentially look like, or hey, I've got 45 steps rather than one in front of me, and so I have no idea which action or which road or path to take?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think I see a lot of owners dealing with that, where it is paralysis from analysis and you've got 500 things that have to get done, but it's the ability to go through and say, what does that list look like over the next year? And getting really clear on your goals. What has to happen in the next year? Like, where do you want to be? Does this mean you've grown your team to a certain extent? Does this mean capacity growth? Does this mean revenue? What actually do you want to get out of that next year? And what's the why behind it? So having a really clear idea, like, well, we really want to get to a point where we're profiting 20 grand a month. Okay, that informs our sales goals. That informs our capacity. We know what our org chart is going to have to be based on just that number. But get a clear idea on where you want to go and put a why behind it. Why is that important to you? And then backing it up into, if that's the main goal we're trying to put into place, creating that pro forma as far as like your financial plan. So take your P&L from this year, blow it in next year, and start tinkering with the numbers on what would have to change to make that happen. And what you really come out with that pro forma is a scorecard on a monthly basis to say, are we hitting the goals we need to hit and what adaptations we have to make? And one of the most important things with building that pro forma over the next year that shows every month, every expense column that you're going to have, that creates a scorecard to say, if this is what we're shooting for, because we know this is the path to get to where we're trying to go, you can course correct. Like that, the important thing I would want to say in that is that it's not a PDF that you create, right? This is a working document. It's on Google that you can manipulate on a monthly basis to say, here's our expectation for our expenses, for our revenue. Hey, we were way short on revenue. What needs to happen inside the business to course correct so that we're back on track for February or for Q3 or, you know, whatever has to be changed? But you're able to look at that initial pro forma as the scorecard, and it gives you a really clear analysis of what do we need to look at on that monthly or quarterly basis that would judge our performance and give us an opportunity to change course. So immediately that starts to give you some priority items. I'm like, hey, we know that our marketing budget really does influence the leads that we get and the revenue that we're able to do. So let's focus in on that. Do we have to increase that budget to increase leads so we can hit those revenue goals? But it helps to give you that clarity on what are the key pieces that we know really push the business. Let's focus on those. You kind of go back into a priority list, and there are a million things under the sun you're working with as an entrepreneur. So if you're focused more on those benchmarks and that scorecard, that kind of helps to clear the fat away on the other pieces that you might call a distraction. And one of the biggest things I come up with, dealing with small business owners, is they chase a lot of shiny red balls. And so if you're clear at the beginning of the, never, right? Or I like to say there's a burning building down the street, but you're worried about the cat in the tree. You're like, the cat's going to be fine. Go fix the burning building. But if you don't have that perspective on what is important, what those priorities are, you might be chasing shiny red balls and getting cats out of trees. When at the beginning of your year, you already have nailed down, hey, here's the five main things that I need to make sure I'm pushing forward in order to hit the goal. Everything else based on that analysis is extraneous. So let's put that in a parking lot and address it when we have some free time. But now we've identified our scorecard, those benchmarks, that's what we need to focus on to stay on task.
I want to kind of break down some of the things that you were saying, but what you were talking about there with like the cat in the tree reminded me of a conversation with a client, and it was mostly a joke. And what she was saying was that she had gone to hot yoga earlier that week. And then while she was in hot yoga, she was thinking about, I paid this much to be here, and there's 40 people in this room, and each person paid this much money. And so this is actually a really good business model. How much would the rent cost? And was like, okay, then I should go create this business. I'm like, how about we focus on the one in front of you first? And once that one's operationalized, we can work on another one. But you talked about a couple of things. First, the why, which I think is really important, of understanding what exactly is it that you want to accomplish and why is it actually important to you? Because let's face it, life and growth is not linear. You've got ups and downs throughout your year, throughout your day, throughout your week. And having clarity as to where you're wanting to go and that why, I think, is incredibly important for each one of us as entrepreneurs. But to me, there's this kind of calculus when you're going through the different kind of potential directions of what is the risk associated with going down that direction. Sometimes the risk is worth the reward, or just recognizing what is the likelihood of that potential outcome. And are you willing to accept the risk of that potential direction? What is the likelihood of that outcome? And what is the likelihood of reward? And being able to actually kind of go through a systematic kind of process of elimination of the different potential avenues that you can take to allow for you to whittle that down to three potential options and then make a programmatic decision. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I always encourage owners at the onset to write down their why and what those goals are. So I want to get to 1 million this year. Okay, why? Well, because I know based on my margins, I'm going to profit 200K. Okay, that's great. Why is 200K important? And it means that I can satisfy X, Y, and Z goals personally, and I can buy a yoga studio or, you know, whatever they want to get done. But there's an engine that your passions behind what's driving the business is, it needs to have a lot of fuel in it. And so writing that down and getting clarity on the why behind that goal helps give you a lens on when there's other opportunities that come across your plate. You can do a cost-benefit analysis and say, okay, here's my business plan for the next year. I've got my pro forma. I know the why. I know how I'm going to do it. Okay, this other really new cool opportunity came in March. What's the why behind it? What am I getting out of that new opportunity? And is it more satisfying than the current goal that I have? Or if I go and chase out their goal, is it going to detract from my ability to accomplish that first goal? And you can look back at your notes from 3 months ago and say, here's the why I'm going for 1 million. Here's what it's going to take to get there. Now I'm analyzing this against the why for this new opportunity. You're able to kind of look at apples for apples and be like, it's kind of a zero-sum game on your efforts. You can't divert 40% of your effort to go after something new and assume it's not going to affect your business. And so having that really clear why and how, it gives you something that you can measure up new opportunities against and know that there's going to be a cost to adding on a new initiative.
So one of the components that you're suggesting is that the why can kind of create a constraint around the direction that someone's headed, right? So like one of the things, I mean, I'm the truer kind of entrepreneurial person as well, and that like sometimes within the business, and I've done it several times and had to learn to stop doing this, is that I will kind of get bored, I guess. Like the business is kind of working well, and then because I'm bored, I end up like just wiping the slate clean, which is the absolute worst thing to do, right? It's like, when something's working, you know what I should do? Stop doing it. And part of what I had to do was like recognize that component of myself and like create constraints around myself of like, I'm not allowed to change anything within this plan within a specific period of time. And then I'm committing to that with my team so that when I get the kind of underpinned gnome syndrome to like prevent myself from actually taking action in that direction and making sure that I've put myself in a box so that it actually forces kind of different thinking. What are your thoughts and belief systems around constraints and that kind of idea? The horse blinders, if you will.
I mean, that's an excellent way to self-enforce some serious self-discipline, is saying, I'm going to commit to this for 6 months. I know historically I'm going to get bored by the end of month three, but I need to give this a good shake. I mean, that's some amazing self-awareness you've already implemented in your practice, that so many of us, it's, I don't know if it's just universal ADHD with small business owners, or we get bored quickly, but one of the universal pieces I've picked up on is that we're oftentimes builders. And so when we get a project or a new business or something to what we feel is like 80, maybe 90% complete, we do get bored. We want to move on to the next thing. So putting those guardrails in for yourself, I don't have any tattoos, but if I did have one, it'd be in my left forearm and would say, know thyself. And that's such a huge piece. Like, know yourself. Like, don't try to fool yourself that you're not going to get bored after X amount of months. So what kind of guardrails can you put in? And so it's thinking through that, again, that self, that introspection on, at what point has this become an issue for me? But you can build that into your plan. So if you're building a pro forma and saying for the next year, hey, okay, by month six, I'm kind of going to get bored of this and get sidetracked. Maybe that's okay. Maybe that's how your business evolves, that you're the one that has to go look out for new initiatives. You're the visionary, you're the planner, but build that in. Hey, over the next 6 months, I'm going to create all these different departments or different systems. But in that plan, who am I going to hand these off to that does have that more maintenance mindset, where they're happy to take on a system that's been 80-90% built? They want to work every day towards optimization, because that's something that you get bored of. You're like, I don't want to spend 5 years optimizing the same system that I feel was 90% complete by month six. Hmm. So where in your system, in your business, and in your team, can you prepare to hand off some of those activities and those responsibilities so that it does free you up to go and make, because you know that change is going to come. So start thinking it through and say, all right, I got to have three people take on these three main roles by July 1. So I'm going to start looking for them by April 1 and start putting that into your plan and know that this is how I operate. It's how the business is going to operate. What people and systems can I put into place to accommodate it?
So there's a couple of things that you're saying around the like pro forma component that I think is interesting, in that, I mean, for me, every output, right? So your financial prospectus, right, is the output of the actions that you're taking within the business. And when your revenue is not performing the way that you'd like it to, well, what were the inputs that went into actually producing that revenue in the first place? How did I bring on new clients? How effective was that? And like starting to break down each action or input into what the output is, and like what are all the things that contributed to this outcome specifically, so that you can start to figure out what are all the contributing factors, what are all the inputs that went into this that allowed for me to be able to actually make this happen, and which ones are working, which ones are not. So which ones do I need to start tweaking? It's like into the level of granularity in success that I think is so important to recognize that it's not in this like completely inventive thing that you need to do every single day to allow for a successful business. It's actually in like a lot of minutia in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And it's something that we often struggle with. I'm not sure about how you are with this, but minutia and details, oh God, I get bogged down. It's exhausting. There's other people that are really, really solid with minutia and details. But that's one of those things, to your point before about self-discipline, is you do need to start writing those out, and you can kind of distill what you're focused on into five or six main categories. And one of my other sayings is, you know, the death of every entrepreneur is we all become glorified managers. And so the more self-discipline you can become to write down those roles and responsibilities and really isolate the things that you do pay attention to that do drive the business, it becomes easier to bottle those up into a position where you can hand it off to somebody else or put into a system where it's like, here's all the things that I pay attention to that drive the business. Mm. But it takes a lot of detail-oriented work to make this happen. But it's not something that I can do, especially as this grows. You're managing five departments. How do you start handing those off to other people and give them the tools, the KPIs to say, in order to do this job properly, here's the things, here are the reins, and here's how I need to steer it. And we're going to check in every month or every 3 months, but this is going to be your responsibility now, because now I'm managing five departments and people instead of me being the one doing everything all the time. But it's being able to write those specific KPIs and benchmarks down, so somebody's got, you know, a direction to go in and goals to hit, and they've got step-by-step instructions on how to do it.
I mean, I think that the measurement piece is actually really important. There was an article I read quite a long time ago of what is the number one thing that someone can do to lose weight. And I thought that the answer was of this article was actually quite intriguing. And like most people would probably think eating better, working out, or what have you. And the number one thing that anyone can do to lose weight is weigh themselves in the morning. Ultimately, really? what is measured is improved. It forces your thinking. You end up eating healthier. You end up more likely to work out. It ends up actually forcing kind of different thinking. And so there's kind of a twofold question, I suppose, in here. It's like one of the things that you're talking about is this idea of measurement that allows for the output that you're looking for. But two, that's kind of built into this weighing yourself every day, is this idea of doing something regularly, creating good habits or practices that allow for you to be able to make traction towards the direction. So let's kind of frame it in the life of an entrepreneur, of an agency owner. And let's say that I am measuring my objectives. I have a clear understanding of what my why is. I'm not necessarily sure of the action that I'm on or the road that I'm taking is the right one necessarily, but what practices, what things would you suggest for someone in a place where they are the entrepreneurial mind, where everything is an opportunity and they want to explore them all, but being able to allow for them to have the right habits in place to have a productive and successful business?
Excellent question. I love You blew my mind with that. I thought the trick was to not do it every day because it becomes discouraging and your weight fluctuates so much. But I'm going to give that a go. Usually I do that and then it goes up and down so much. I'm like, yes, I'm down 5 pounds. And then a day later, I'm like, I'm up 7. Damn it.
You eat a lot if you're up 7 pounds in a day, but
I don't know how it fluctuates so much. I would be eating lead or something. But I think that would apply to, yeah, running your business well. And it's in tracking. So the first piece we've talked about already is creating those KPIs. What does it mean for sales, for lead gen, for, you know, for marketing is a great example because there's so many different things you can track on a weekly, daily, monthly True. Basis. Mm-hmm. But you're putting that out there. First, create those KPIs. What are your expectations? What are your goals on that daily, weekly, monthly basis? But then going through and tracking. And we've got a lot of analytics that are up that do this on a natural basis. But if you're able to go through and say, what's happening? Like, what's your dashboard that pulls in all that data for how you're doing it on a daily basis? And going mm-hmm. through and being able to analyze those numbers regularly to stay on track, because those are the things that are really driving your business. And if you let that tracker sit for 6 months without referencing it, that was kind of mm-hmm. that was your compass, right? Mm-hmm. That was your North Star on, if I hit these numbers and I'm doing this much work at this quality for an extended period of time, I'm going to hit my goal. But if I'm not referencing my tracker, not adding numbers for 6 months, you don't know where the variability was. If you had some action for six days or 6 weeks, you don't know what the outcome was. And so having that tracker that really informs, A, am I staying on track? Am I inputting the numbers? It helps you keep your mind on what you're supposed to be doing. Same thing with the weight loss. You know, every day I look at my tracker. It's been 6 weeks since I looked at my tracker for my marketing effort. Same thing with the scale. Like, oh, I forgot and I ate a whole cake on Tuesday, but who's counting, right?
Ouch. I think my stomach hurts just the idea of eating a whole cake, but...
Oh, I have such a sweet tooth, especially this time of year. I'm like coming off, I'm getting like the withdrawal from all the like Christmas and December, all the sugar. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, just a little more sugar. Like, no, get off it. Anyway, but if you're weighing yourself every day, you're right. In the morning, you're like, I'm not going to eat a whole cake for breakfast. I just weighed in and I made all this progress. Why would I eat a cake now? Look how far I've come. Mm-hmm. Same thing in your business. I've put all this work in. Let's keep doing it. Look at the results that I'm getting.
Yep.
And so, if I eat a cake today, what's going to happen tomorrow? So it's a good way to keep yourself accountable and regularly show those results and give you an opportunity to course correct if you're falling off track.
So if I were to summarize kind of the conversation we've been having today, it's know your why, really have a clear understanding and actually dig deeper, not the superficial why of I want to have $1 million revenue, but what does it actually mean contextually for you and what is the motivator? Or really having a clear understanding of what exactly is it that you should be measuring. Make sure that you're actually monitoring those measurements. Make sure that you have a plan to improve upon the items that you're measuring, and then stay consistent in what it is that you're doing so that you're making movement towards it. Would that be a reasonable kind of synopsis?
Very well put, Robert. Absolutely.
So TJ, if listeners would like to get in touch, how can they find you? How can they get connected?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from your listeners. Let's see. So my email, if you want to reach out and have a conversation, is tj@crowsnestmindset.com. Or if they want to straight up book a call and have a quick one-on-one meeting for 30 minutes, it's crowsnestmindset.com. And they can reach out in either format, and I'd be happy to spend some time, A, in that initial call, but I'll give them a couple hours to go through and do the initial structure for what that pro forma would look like for them. And we'll map out over the next year or 5 years and say, if you're trying to hit X, Y, and Z goals, what are the other pieces of your business that have to follow suit in order for that to happen? And put together that basic pro forma on where are your gaps so I can poke some holes in their plan, add feedback, yes, and the things that they're doing, or validate the work that they have and send them on their way with an initial pro forma for the year.
Awesome. I'll make sure to have all of those links in the chat. Thanks so much for joining today, DJ.
Been a pleasure, Robert. Thank you so much.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening in today. With all of the shifts in the industry, it is easy to feel overwhelmed or unsure of your next move. So I'm not here to try to sell you anything. I just want to give back and guide you through the uncertainty. Whether you're navigating new trends or just need some clarity, we're here to listen and offer advice. Head to creativeagencysuccess.com/chat to book a free 15-minute chat with an agency mentor who can provide you with a fresh perspective. Let's figure out the best steps for your agency's growth together.